and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Holden.
Today's episode is 5 reasons why you are not losing fat. And we think this is a really appropriate, hello, monster can.
Well, it's not
it's actually
monster.
A rain can.
Rain can today.
Every day it pains me. Every single day it pains me.
Well, people know what's going on now from last week's episode. And last week's episode really got a great reaction.
I'm really happy with that.
And I'm really happy that it helped educate some people as well on possibly things that they didn't understand or didn't know or were misguided from our wonderful media.
Yes, definitely. And just before we actually dive into talking about today's podcast, we have a very, very exciting launch. I was going to say an announcement. It's kind of an announcement, kind of a launch. The MCS Beauty Loops are officially restocking on Friday at 7 p.m. BST. We do ship worldwide. Anyone in the whole entire world can get their hands on them. I'm literally so excited. Make sure you head over to the school Instagram page at My Coach School and my page and Ben's page, because there's a lot of information on there, a lot of images, a lot of pictures, a lot of excitement. But yeah, Friday, 7 p.m. BST, and we'll also be restocking some of the barbell pads as well.
I think a lot of people probably saw it on both mine and your story the other day. Obviously, I stole the show with the product shoot. I was looking Beyonce-like of my bands.
Yeah, for sure. So we obviously just wanted to let you know about that. But today's podcast is all about why you're not losing fat. Now, I think it's important to take a step back and pinpoint what you're doing now that is preventing you from actually losing fat. And it could be something so simple that you've never really considered before, because we get it a lot of times in our DMs from members, from clients. Oh God, like, I'm just not losing fat. And they get really, really frustrated and really pissed off, which I can fully appreciate. But have you actually taken into consideration these 5 things that we are going to discuss today?
I think it's not even so much taken in consideration. Like, I think and I feel like some people will, and this is speaking from like to other personal trainers and other coaches, a lot of clients will sometimes get agitated or angry with the coach because they're looking for someone external to blame, like it's their fault. But
yeah.
And sometimes when I say everything is your fault, it is your fault, but sometimes you can be putting in like 100% work or believe you're putting in 100% work. But some of these reasons are almost flying below the radar. And
yeah,
it's something that you're not necessarily doing on purpose. Like, you're not necessarily going out and eating a shitload or getting boozed and getting bougie or whatever you're doing. It's generally something that you are putting 100% into it, but because of these underlying factors that you're not taking into consideration, or you are hard into your diet and used an autopilot, so you forget about these kind of underlying things that may be directly affecting your weight loss or your fat loss. And by changing these, it'll have a massive impact.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say there's the 3 most important things that we kind of discussed before this podcast that people are not. So you're not genetically cursed. I mean, everyone has different genetics and it will play a part in where you store fat, how you build muscle, but you're not genetically cursed. It doesn't mean you can't do it. You don't have a completely damaged metabolism and you're not too old. Like, we get this a lot in terms of questions like, oh, like, am I too old to start losing fat or building muscle or achieve my goals? Definitely not. That's not a consideration into the factors of fat loss. Or obviously with muscle building with age, it will be a little bit different in terms of hormones and testosterone, things like that. But doesn't mean you can't do it.
It's not black or white is basically what you're trying to say. And if someone else has done it, then you can do it. I do understand that for a very, very, very small percentage of people, there will be underlying factors such as medical reasons why they may not be able to lose weight.
Thyroid
problems, which may play a role. And obviously, again, though, there is people with thyroid problems who have lost weight and who have lost fat. So again, if someone else has done it, you can do it as well.
Well, we've had numerous clients, and I still have a few clients on now who have underactive thyroids, and you just have to really, really listen to that client, but then also that client has to take into consideration everything you are explaining to them, because it might be a little bit different for them or whatever, but it's definitely, definitely doable. Mm-hmm. Now, the first point we wanted to dive into, and I think this one is the most important, and it's mm-hmm. definitely the most common, is where people actually underestimate their overall calorie intake. And this means you are unknowingly overeating, which is obviously going to prevent fat loss occurring, as more than likely it's going to take you out of your calorie deficit. And for those of you who aren't 100% sure, a calorie deficit is just eating fewer calories than you are expending on a day-to-day basis. And again, this is definitely, for me personally, the most common one where people, I think, fall up, kind of trip up by underestimating what they're actually eating. And I say, like, literally over 99% of people who are on a fat loss or weight loss journey underestimate their actual calories.
It's not just like people who are new to dieting or people who are a client. Coaches do this all the time. I've done it fucking loads of times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to remember, I think we got stir fry or something from Asda, and I was putting it into my fitness pal and put it in wrong, and you said, well, it's not actually the right calories, and it was like double because you're only putting half in. It's so easy to do. Even
oh my god, sorry, I just remembered an idea. Carry on. I remember
I basically finished that.
Anyway. Oh, do you remember when I did it with the pancakes?
Oh my god, yeah,
that was actually yeah. So you can get
they're like freaking house bricks.
You can get these huge pancakes from Asda, and I love pancakes. And I was on a cut at that time, and I was having 3 pancakes a day. But when I actually scan them, because they're like baked in Asda, the barcode is for the smaller pancake. So I thought each pancake was 78 calories. In my head, I was like, could be, like, you never know. We were kind of like, yeah, they're fucking huge, by the way, like these other pancakes. Per pancake, it was 270 calories. And I've been having 3 a day for about 6 weeks. And I came to this predicament. I was like, oh my god, I've been overeating my calories by like 600 or 700 calories a day. So it definitely is easily done, even from coaches and from a perspective where we're super experienced with nutrition and food and calories. It is definitely easily done. So having a look at that, maybe in your diet, is super important.
100%. I mean, but just go to show, sometimes though, it's not as detrimental if you're not on a weight loss journey, because quite clearly what you were doing there, and
yeah, nothing happened.
And obviously what we're trying to get at the same time is that when you are on a weight loss journey and you're in a caloric deficit, these margins are a hell of a lot smaller, so you need to pay a lot more attention to those little things that could be creeping into your diet. Whereas if you're sort of hitting maintenance or you're in a surplus and you're looking to build more muscle tissue, then a couple of 100 calories or a couple of calories either side isn't going to be as detrimental. You don't need to be as, I suppose, nitpicky or saucy about the calories as if you were in a deficit, because it becomes a lot more important. Now, we pulled this, and me and Lucy discussed this before. It was a paper that was in the British Journal of Nutrition, and it was a research paper that was done on, I think it was females that were looking to lose weight.
Yeah,
I can't remember the research and the experiment that's done exactly, but I know that the females that they measured, they were looking at weight loss, and the females were, or said they were, on 1,340 calories per day, and they were then measured for, okay, how much weight did you lose over this time? And they actually lost no weight.
Mm-hmm.
When the researchers did a little delving into the amount of calories that the females were actually on, they were actually on 2,500 calories per day.
2,586.
Oh, there we go.
That's nearly 2,600 calories.
It's more than 1,000 calories over than what they were estimating. And that was them being, or what they thought they were, being honest about their calories. So when we look at that kind of data and that kind of research of how the females actually undercounted or underaccounted for the amount of calories they were having is astronomical. And it's no wonder that they weren't losing weight, because they're probably at maintenance or even over maintenance into a surplus of that amount of calories. And it wasn't until the researchers actually brought the food down and delved into this, and they looked at what they were actually having, and they started hitting that 1,340 calories, was when they actually started to lose weight.
Yeah, definitely. And this is where it kind of comes into, most people are just really bad at estimating the amount of calories in food. And I wanted to give the example of the infamous Instagrammable avocado on wholemeal toast with a drizzle of oil. Now, I think a lot of people would say, yeah, around like 350 calories, but it's actually like 620 to 650 calories, depending on how much oil you have. And this isn't bad. I'm not saying avocado on toast is bad. It's absolutely delicious. I have toast every single day. But the point of the fact is, people underestimate what they're actually eating. And a lot of the time, this is what I used to do. I used to estimate foods, and I used to automatically put it lower in my head to make myself feel better. So I used to think like, oh, avocado and toast, 300 calories. But it's actually 620, but I just used to not account for it.
I'm going to say something quite controversial here. I'm not actually that much of a big fan of avocado on toast.
I mean, I think it's... I can't remember the last time I had it.
I
it's
would
a bit overrated
to have...
A full English.
No, I'm still talking about avocado. We're still on the avocado topic. I would much prefer to have it as... You know when you have it with... chips and you have
guacamole.
Yeah. Oh wow, fuck me, I could just eat guacamole out of the bowl. Remember when we had that Mexican when we were in Australia? I went, they brought them out, basically, if you can imagine, like what are those bowls that you used to mash stuff up?
I know what you mean, where you grind things.
Yeah,
and grind,
so these big stone bowls full of guacamole, and I went through two of them. I don't know what the calories probably were in there. It was astronomical. But avocado is well expensive as well, by the way, especially when you buy it in a restaurant. So not only is it financially expensive, it's also calorically expensive as well. So that's just something to look out for. Same for peanut butter. Like peanut butter is 100 calories per like level tablespoon, or 25 grams there, 20
yeah,
grams.
Something like that. And I think that's what's actually difficult with social media. An avocado and peanut butter, for a lot of people, they'd be like, oh, that's a good food. And it's like, you could have a Mars bar for 180 calories. Is that considered a bad food? No, like, there's no good food, there's no bad food, there's no categories. There's carbs, fats, and proteins, people. Like, it doesn't... Do you know what I mean? Like, people would think, oh, like, I can't have that, it's a bad food. I can't have that, it's a good food.
Yeah.
Have a little look at your overall calorie intake and what you can have that day and see what you can fit into it.
This is the thing
whilst
with,
being balanced.
This is my argument against, and I know a lot of people seem to be posting it at the moment, and I do understand that it's different for different people, but about either one, people eating intuitively, or two, people who slag off diet plans, because diet plans for a lot of people work. And I found for me it works, I found for clients it works. Just simply giving people a calorie intake sometimes isn't going to cut it, because like we just seen from the British Journal of Research there, people can massively 100%. Overestimate calories because they're putting in foods that they don't really account for, or they're putting in foods that they don't calorically understand in quantities either. So sometimes if people do this versus having a diet plan, a set program of food to have, and even if that includes variants of meals where they can switch in and out, which is what we tend to do a lot of the time, is that at least people know, right, I'm having this food, this amount of quantity, I know it fits within this calorie intake, and I'm not shooting miles over. So for a lot of people, intuitive eating or just eating, hitting calories isn't cutting the mustard, because they still go, well, as we're just seeing from that research paper, a lot of people still go massively over.
Yeah, I think there's a stigma around like calorie counting and diet plans, and if you're on like a diet plan or a nutrition plan or counting calories, you're so strict, like you have no life. Hold the fuck up. Why? Do you know what I mean? There's such a stigma behind having that. And no, you don't have to eat intuitively. Like, I go through phases. I personally prefer following a diet plan. I find it easier. It doesn't mean you're strict and you're anal. It just means you rather have something to follow, because personally for you, that is better. Some people will do better off just having calories and macros. Some people will do better off not tracking at all. Some people do better off intuitive eating. Don't just base it off what you see other people doing. Base it off what you know works for you.
It's preference. Again, though, it's the same when it comes to looking after your bank account and counting money. Some people would just go, bang, this is going in, this is going out, and I'm quite happy with that. Whereas some people prefer to have like a breakdown, statements, financial report of what they're doing, in versus out, in a more systematic way, like I know you do. It's the same when it comes to the diet plans. I do agree that some people will just need the calorie intake. I agree that some people can intuitively And then some people will need a diet plan. It's just, it depends on the individual, and you can't tarnish any avenues because people will respond differently to different ways and different methods.
Yeah, 100%. Now, the second point, and it kind of intertwines...
Oh, sorry, 1 second. There's one note that I've made there that we haven't touched on, and that's condiments.
That's the second point.
Okay, you've touched on my second point. I'll let you continue.
The second point, as Ben just stated, is condiments and liquid calories. Now, I just wanted to throw a few examples that I've pulled up for you. A Starbucks latte, medium, grande, has 190 calories. One tablespoon of mayo contains 103 calories.
Mayo Lite, game changer, by the way.
Mayo Lite, 39 cals. And one tablespoon of olive oil for cooking is around... What? Why was that so funny?
Say that again.
Cooking.
No, say the whole sentence again.
One tablespoon of olive oil for cooking.
You said it so quick and you went for fucking. Like that. You need one tablespoon of oil for fucking.
Oh, don't do that for fucking. Equals 100 calories. Sorry, now, this could equate to over 350 calories a day, completely taking you out of your deficit. And we've had this many a times, especially with Starbucks and like Costas and things. 190 calories in a latte, a medium latte. That's freaking
big.
I mean, that's insane. Have an Americano and pop some milk in, like, rather than having a latte.
I think I've spoke about this story before, but I'm going to swing it back to
it's a heavy client. Situation.
I'm sure I've spoke about it before on the podcast, but I had a client who was with me on a 12-week program, Better Bodies program, by the way, that has just opened up for the October intake. So if you'd like to know more about one-to-one work with me on my Better Bodies 12-week program, transformation program, then you can drop me an email over to ben@microschool.com. Sort of plug there. But yeah, he was on the program with me, and we had him in a deficit. He was doing a little bit of cardio to start with. And even at the start of the program, where you generally will see quite a bit of fat loss or a bit of weight loss, he wasn't losing anything. I couldn't understand for the life of me. I dropped calories down, we dropped his cardio a little bit. He still wasn't dropping. And I actually sat down, had a conversation with him, and be like, well, let's have a look at your day. Like, what are you doing from start to finish? And a lot of the time, it usually comes down to habits and routines over the fact of what's really in the diet.
Sorry.
And he was actually, when we looked at his day, okay, before work, he was going to Starbucks. And at dinner, he was going to Starbucks. And at the end of the day, he was going to Starbucks. Okay, what was he actually having when he went into Starbucks? We found out he was actually having a... What would they call it?
It was a venti caramel macchiato,
which was
with an extra shot.
Which is 320 calories
per drink.
Per drink. So overall, he was almost going over each day by 1,000. So say it's a working week and not a full week, he was going over by 5,000 calories per week, which is way out of his deficit. Probably taking him into a surplus. So it was pretty easy to see just from having a couple of coffees per day why he wasn't losing weight. And at first, we scratched on our heads thinking, what is going on? And then that bombshell was kind of dropped, and we took those coffees out. He switched it for a normal Americano with a little bit of milk in, and the weight started flying off him. And that was just from consuming coffee. So it's really easy to see when you start putting those kind of things into perspective of things that people just pick up because they've become habits. And that's the big thing, habits. Once you've got that habit and it's been in your life for 6 months, a year, whatever it may be, it makes it kind of really easy just to become a subconscious decision that you don't even realize and doesn't slide into MyFitnessPal, because why would it? It's just, you've been doing it for years anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And again, these are not to be avoided. They're just factors to be aware of and to look into if you are on a fat loss journey or weight loss journey and you're not actually losing the fat. Like, I have a flat white every single day. I have my heavy ass sourdough toast with shitloads of salty butter every day, but I take into consideration because I know how many calories are in that flat white and in the butter.
Yeah.
A lot of people would just avoid it, which is fine if you're not that bothered about fat loss or weight loss. But if you are, it's just something you have to be aware of.
Yeah, it's like when I was at maintenance, I would just whack a load of fucking mayo and I wasn't that bothered about it because it's a bit of mayo, not really awesome, not looking to lose weight anyway. I'm just quite happy what I'm doing, I'm enjoying my food. But then when it comes to at the moment where I'm cutting, I'm trying to drop weight, that has to be taken into consideration. So I'll bang a bit of mayo into my fitness ball, yeah, tick, it's in there. No, at least not flying over my calories with it.
Yeah. Now, our third point is all about weighing yourself. And I think I'll probably let Ben take the reins here a little bit more, because personally, I don't weigh myself.
Well, I've just done a post on it this week as well, haven't I?
And Ben has just done a post on his Instagram. I don't weigh myself because I had an eating disorder for nearly 3 years. Don't have a good relationship with them, probably do now. But the truth is, I don't give a fuck what I weigh. I really just don't. So weighing yourself for me is really not important.
Well, I have some clients who actually, for a lot of lockdown, we didn't have weigh-ins. Oh, yeah. We just did images. But, and again, I know on social media, there's like this culture of people, I've seen it before, dickheads smashing up scales with hammers and shit, like cursing like the devil. And this is why I really want to educate people and highlight to people the importance of different tools and how they can be used, and how they can be used depending on your mindset and where you're currently at in your journey. So to really simplify it, I think that the scales are great for people on a weight loss journey.
I agree with that, by the way.
Particularly if they are heavily overweight or obese. And the reason for this being is that when you're at the start of a weight loss journey, you generally, and if you have a lot of body fat, will lose weight quite quickly. So if you're only taking progress images and you're not weighing yourself, if you are a high body fat percentage, in that first 3 to 4 weeks, you might notice absolutely no difference in your composition because you're carrying quite a lot of body fat. However, if you were to jump on the scales, you might be a stone down and not even realize, just because your body hasn't changed that much compositionally at the moment. So this is where the scales are important in both giving you indication of results, but also your motivation. Now, on the other hand, for people who are already low body fat percentage, starting off a weight loss journey, the scales might not be the best thing, because you may be absolutely slaving yourself to cardio for a week. You may be hitting your caloric deficit, hitting your weight sessions, doing everything that you need to do, but have only dropped 0.5 pound or a pound and be quite disheartened by the scales. However, when you look at progress images from 1 week to the next or 2 weeks on, you've lost a substantial amount of body fat. Because if you think of someone who's, let's say, 12% body fat, who loses a pound, that 1 pound is a big percentage of someone's body fat.
Yeah, definitely.
So visually, that is going to be quite easy to see for compositional images. And that's why it's important to notice the difference and really look at the person who is on this journey, because those different tools can mean very, very different things to each individual depending on where they're currently at with their composition.
Yeah, and I think as a woman as well, there are so many different, I mean, there's so many factors in general for weight, like holding water, salt, stress, sleep. We did a whole podcast on sleep. This could be a major considering factor why you're not losing fat. But for women, our hormones fluctuate so much throughout the month when we go through our menstrual cycle. You will also notice your weight will definitely fluctuate. I mean, when you're in PMS or you're actually on your period, for women who are listening, you could put on 6 or 7 pounds during that period. And no, it's not fat. You haven't just automatically overnight put on 7 pounds of fat. You're holding a lot of water. You're on your period. Your hormones are all over the place. You might be eating a bit more. There's so many factors to consider. And I feel like people really, really beat themselves up about this. And I know this is a woman talking, and I know what we're like. We're very emotional beings. It's just something we do. And then you look in the mirror and be like, oh God, like, there's no progress. And this is why Ben is saying it's so important to use those other measurements. Like, progress images for me are life changing, because I mean, I've been in a cut for 4 or 5 weeks now for Lanzarote. I've probably not lost a single pound because I'm also going through body recomp. But that's okay. That is okay for me, because I can see from my progress images, I'm really, really making substantial progress, which kind of keeps me going. I think a lot of people rely on that number on the scale to go down, to be motivated. Don't motivate yourself by the number on the scale.
Yeah, it's different for everyone. And again, I haven't weighed myself now. I must be getting on for 12 months because I went through that really bad period when I had NES and the disorder, and I chose not to do it because I've seen spikes and troughs all the time just because of the way my eating was so sporadic.
But your spikes were big though, weren't they? Yeah, I remember that one day you woke up the next day and you're like, I've put on 12 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
And for you, for your mental state, I was like, you've got to stop.
Yeah. So again, though, there's different ways of weighing yourself. Like, the best way to weigh yourself, and this doesn't matter, like, whether you want to argue with it or not, is to weigh yourself every single day. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that is or can be important is because when you weigh yourself every single day, what you basically take for the week is a weekly average. So, for example, you may be on a Monday 2 pounds heavier than you are on, say, like a Thursday or Friday. So what you will do for that week when you mark it down is take a weekly average. And the reason that's important is because most people's weight will fluctuate throughout the week depending on, did you take a shit? How much water did you drink the day before? What type of meals did you have the day before? Were they higher carb? Like, a lot of these factors can influence, were you stressed? How much sleep did you have? And this can be an indication week to week. Now, I don't believe mentally that that's a good thing to weigh yourself every single day unless you are in a mindset where that is okay. That kind of, okay, mm-hmm. that resonates with me. That's okay with me. For me, that's not. For a lot of my clients, it doesn't. However, what I'll sometimes do with clients is if we have, like, maybe fluctuations, I'll get that client to weigh himself from Monday to Sunday for 1 week, just so I can kind of see how that their weight fluctuates over a 1 week period. And then at least going forward, I know, okay, their weight generally fluctuates from this point to this point, and we get a better indication of that. So again, there's different methods of weighing yourself. You can do it every day. If you just do it once a week or time, obviously taking into consideration that sometimes there will be things that come into equation of why it may spike. You may weigh yourself on a Wednesday and then do it on Saturday and it'd be completely different. So just make sure that you are aware of that. Other things, it might depend on where you weigh yourself. So you might weigh yourself in your bathroom, go into a different room, which I've done before. Because
it's a different floor, isn't it?
The floor is different.
Yeah.
I've been 2 pounds lighter, so I was like, fuck that, I'm weighing myself upstairs now. But again, on this note, it does matter about the type of scale that you use. I would recommend using the same scale every single week because it can be often very different if you go to the gym and weigh yourself mm-hmm. compared to at home. And the other thing that you've got to take into consideration with the type of scale that you're using is I would always use a digital one because it is way more accurate.
Oh yeah, I couldn't. Well, I mean, I wear glasses. I couldn't for the life of me read. The ones where it's like a food scale. It looks like a food scale when it takes long. Yeah, so it's what my mum and dad have. I'm like, I have no idea what that says. But yeah, you can get so frustrated by actually not being accurate.
Weigh yourself on the same scales, same time of day. Do it when you get up, after taking a piss. Don't drink anything because, again, if you were standing on the scales and I was to throw you a 2 litre bottle of water, are you going to be heavier?
Yes.
Of course you are. So if you drink a load of water for the day and weigh yourself later on, midday, end of the day, you are going to be heavier than your actual weight is. Your weight can fluctuate like 2, 3, 4 pounds from the start of the day to the end of the day. So just take that into consideration if you are weighing yourself at different points of the day.
I think that's a really good point to know. Actually, your body will look different at the start and at the end of the day. And I always see these posts on social media like, this was me at the start of the day and this was me at the end of the day. I'm like, it's not freaking, you've not just found out like Newton's law. Do you know what I mean? People think it's like, whoa, like you look so you're bloated at the end of the day. I'm like, holy fuck, of course you are. Like, it's not a social media phenomenon that you look different after a whole day of food. Mm-hmm. And people put this on as a post. I'm like, okay, you've not just broken science history. Like, that's kind of normal. Like, that things change. So I have to throw that one in there.
The other thing to note as well is that you, at the start of a weight loss journey, are going to lose way more weight than you will the other thing. And this is what happens with a lot of my clients is I have some weeks with clients who have started off a higher body fat percentage. They lost 7 pounds in the first week. Now, that's not 7 pounds of body fat, by the way. A lot of that is going to be water weight. A lot of it's going to be glycogen, especially if we brought carbohydrates down in comparison to what they're usually eating, which is quite generally the case, because when we bring carbs down, obviously you're gonna have less glycogen retention, so you're gonna weigh less, you're gonna have less water weight there. And it's important for them to know that because their expectations may be far too high to begin with. They think they're gonna be losing 7 pounds every week because you're just fucking not. Mm-hmm. Even losing 1 to 2 pounds per every single week is a high standard to set, because you're gonna get spikes, troughs, and weight fluctuations, and the average will be brought down. So it's important to know and to kind of not squash those expectations at the start, but just give yourself a little bit more reality that you're not going to be losing the same in the first 1 to 2 weeks as you will through the full journey.
Yeah. Now, this moves us very nicely on to point number four. I actually think we've got 6 points because Ben has an extra point at the end. But number four,
I always like to go a little bit, a bit further and beyond.
Yeah. Overestimating your active calories burned which means a lot of people eat more to compensate for the calories that they've just burned. This is a, such a common question that we get. Oh, I've burned an extra 300 calories today. Can I eat 300 more? Well, no, because then that's just going to put back what you did, say for like your cardio or whatever it is that you're doing for fat loss. And this is why we tell people, do not calculate your calories on MyFitnessPal, because
fucking sick of saying that, to be honest.
It is so inaccurate. If you calculate your calories on MyFitnessPal and there's a setting that is automatically on, I don't even know what it is on MyFitnessPal because I don't use it, but it'll be automatically on. So if your MyFitnessPal, your phone is tracking you burning calories, automatically, without letting you know, MyFitnessPal will put those calories back onto your daily expenditure. So say if you're in a deficit of 1,800 and you move more, I don't know, that day, or you've done some cardio, it will then whack on 200 more calories for you to eat. So it just cancels out what you've just done. So we always recommend using our free calorie calculator on the MyCoach School, because it does not do that.
Yeah. So basically what you're doing every day there is you're showing up to work, you're putting a shift in, you're working your balls off or your tits off, and then you're not getting paid at the end of the day. It's basically what's happening, because all the work that you're putting in is just getting sabotaged because of the active calories being added back in via extra calories.
Yeah, definitely. And this is also seen a lot of the time, because me and Ben wear smartwatches, we wear Apple watches. I've actually just been sent one from a company called Honor, which is also incredible. And they aren't 100% accurate, but they are more accurate than cardio machines at the gym. So I've been doing cardio before, and say, for example, I'm on the cross trainer, and on the machine it says 300 calories burned. I look at my watch and it's like 150 calories.
It can be quite a lot different
It can be up to 24% different in terms of calories on the machine. They are definitely not valid, which obviously really, really doesn't help anyone's fat loss journey if they are using cardio as a tool, because they'll think they've burned like, what, 350 and they've done like 200 calories.
I don't know whether that's a psychological thing, you know, with the way that they set up those machines, and whether they, because if it's that off with that percentage, I wonder whether it's a psychological thing and they purposely increase the amount of total calories burned so that it encourages you to go back and to the gym and use the machines, because you feel like, oh fuck me, I've just burned 300 and whatever calories in this amount of time, I'm gonna do the same again, whatever. Whereas if you truly knew how much work you had to put in to lose or to burn that much calories or that much energy, you'd probably be a little bit disheartened.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a really important point, actually. A woman to a guy in terms of body weight differences, muscle differences, testosterone differences, if Ben did cardio for half an hour on the Stairmaster, he'd probably do like 500 calories.
Half an hour.
Yeah.
Depends what pace I'm going. If I did,
moderate pace. 480.
I'd probably do about 400.
400 calories. I would do around 180.
No, you do more than that.
About 200. But the point is, no, because I just do not, I've got a very, very low heart rate, fast metabolism, so burning calories isn't really that quick for me. But you have to take that into consideration. Like if you're training with your boyfriend or your friend and they've just burned 400 and you're sat there on 200, don't be disheartened. That's completely okay. You're a different body weight, you have different muscle masses, you're on different journeys, different goals. So don't be disheartened if your significant other or your friend or whoever you're training with burns more calories than you.
The only thing that comes into that though is that obviously when you're on a weight loss journey and you're doing cardio, because I fucking hate doing cardio as well. The other week, I did 200 calories in 13 minutes on the Stairmaster. I mean, I had to push it a little bit because I think we were in a rush to do something. But as the weeks go on, I'll have to work harder for longer to get that same amount of calories off. And that's just because your body becomes more efficient at dealing with those activities that you throw out, or dealing with the demand, or dealing with that calorie intake that you're on. This is why for weight loss journeys, you can't just be on the same calorie intake for the entire journey, because things change. It's not because you're doing anything wrong, it's because your body becomes more efficient. Like when you're demanding change for your body will change and your body will adapt. Your body is a very, very smart tool, mm-hmm. and it will change and adapt to those things that you throw at it. So you will need to change things. Like with weight training, you will need to progressively overload. You can't just do the same rep the same way and expect your body to continue to change when you're not given an increase in demand. And this is where another thing that creeps in is, I think if you become too aggressive at the start, whether that's with calories or whether that's with cardio, a big knock-on effect from cardio is that your appetite is going to be way higher. So you've got to take that into consideration that, okay, I'm cutting way, way, way low now, so I'm going to be fucking starving. So don't overdo it at the beginning. If you're too aggressive, you'll end up hungrier and potentially going over your calories anyway.
Yeah, I think people have to remember as well, if you're choosing your goal to be fat loss or weight loss and you are going into the midst of a deep calorie deficit, don't complain that you're hungry. Like, it's everything happens, everything happens for a reason, that's the wrong quote. Everything you do is your own fault. It is your goal, your purpose to lose fat. Don't then complain every day that you're hungry. It is your choice. You don't have to do that. Yeah. You can up your calories and maybe move a bit more, or you can just slowly come out of your deficit, because I always find people really, really complain about it. I'm like, you've chose to do that goal. You're going to be a little bit hungrier. Are there sacrifices that you don't actually want to make? Like, do you want to not have that goal anymore? Yeah. Do you want to do something a bit different? Like, having abs, bullshit. It's not the be-all, end-all. Just have a rethink of your goals. If you're finding yourself in a really negative mindset and complaining all the time about how hungry you are, don't do it.
Yeah, I don't want to get off topic, but the one that fascinates me is, oh man, too little calories for weight loss. No, you're fucking not. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're not on too little calories weight loss. That is the most bullshit thing I've ever heard in my life. Just to put that into perspective, because I don't know if it was on a YouTube video or when Zach was on the podcast the other week, and he was talking about Chris Bumstead, who is a massive, I think he must be 6'2". I don't know, he's around like 250 pounds, like huge guy, competes at high level Mr. Olympia. Did he win it last year or came second? Mm. I think he might have won it.
Yeah.
And his calories have to come down to 1,500 calories when he's in prep, which is, he must be starving all the time. Mm. And people say, I'm not saying that people should do that, by the way, so please don't go away and do that, because it's an extreme for an extreme sport.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But you can't be on too little calories for weight loss. It just doesn't happen. So it, like I said before, it's like if you took a dog to the vet because it's overweight, it's going to say walk it more and eat less. It's as simple as that. You can't be on too little calories for weight loss. So I just wanted to quickly address that point as well.
Yeah, I definitely use the calorie calculator on the school to calculate your specific calories. For a deficit for me, I personally don't go lower than 1,800. I just move more because I love food and I really don't like... Whereas Ben would go lower than me. And we've had a lot of people say, like, oh, I'm on 1,200. You really do not need to be.
Well, you're probably not, for one.
You're probably not. But you do not need to be on 1,200 calories. Like, go back and recalculate on the school for 0.5 to £1 loss per week. That is absolutely all you need.
I had this question from one of our members on the school the other day. I was the voice note on him on Instagram. And he'd been on the calorie calculator and taking the lowest calculation straight away, and obviously it's based on the Benedict
formula.
And he's taking the lowest of calorie, and this is, I think, a question that we get quite often with the calorie calculator on the school is, oh, it's saying my calorie is gonna be this low, isn't that ridiculous? Like, it could be for females 800, it could be for a guy for 1,500, and yes, that is very, very aggressive calories. We're not saying you should start on that, for example. And I explained it to a guy I was speaking to on Instagram because he started on that and he'd lost a lot of weight quickly. However, that's not maintainable for a long period of time. That kind of calorie intake is useful if you are a type of person who is going mega aggressive or doing diet breaks. I shouldn't really say it's for people doing diet breaks. So what you would basically do is start off that mega aggressive calorie intake and then you do a diet break for 2 weeks. So you bring your calories back up to maintenance. So if you look at that 4 week period where you've done 2 weeks aggressive, 2 weeks at maintenance, what is the average calorie intake over that time? It's probably higher up on that scale of where you should be starting.
Yeah.
So if you're not doing diet breaks, because that's a completely different method of dieting and weight loss altogether, if you're just looking to a process of a more sustainable weight loss and staying on a fixed calorie intake, start your calories off higher. At the end of the day, we want to do less to get more results. And that's the way we want to wear things. So then it gives us more wiggle room for me plateau to bring calories down.
Yeah. Also with that formula, we can't just take out, do you know what I mean? We can't just remove parts of the calorie calculator because you don't like it. That is the most famous Benedict formula for calories. We can't just remove them.
This is explained on the school as well.
And it's explained on the school as well.
The last point that I want to make on cardio, just before we move on, I was having this conversation with one of my friends this week. I do have friends, by the way, just in case you were.
Me.
Yeah, Lucy's not my only friend. I do have other acquaintances. But we basically having a conversation about cardio, and I don't think this is a very, what's the word I'm looking for? I think it's often used, the way that I measure cardio.
Well, yeah, I had some shit from someone on YouTube because I measure it the same way.
I don't understand why, but I mean, it's massively dependent on the goal, but I measure I measure cardio by calories. So if you're on a weight loss journey, I believe what gets measured gets managed. So if we have to increase the amount of cardio or decrease the amount of calories that we're intaking to increase that deficit to lose more weight, then there's certain ways of doing that. So with cardio, I'll often go, okay, I need to increase the amount of cardio because I don't want to decrease food. So I'll say, okay, this week I'm going to add in, let's say, 500 or 600 calories worth of cardio. So what I can then do is split that up. I can either do one session and just bash out all the calories of cardio in one session, or can break it up into 3 sessions and do 200 calories per session, do tag it 15 minutes on the end of each workout. At least I know that I'm hitting that amount of calories from cardio per week. Whereas what a lot of people do is, I'll just go in the gym and I'll just do cardio at the end of the session. I'll do 30 minutes, or I'll go in and I'll just do an hour of cardio. How do you know that's how much you need to do? You could be underdoing it, you could be overdoing it. I'm not saying you need to go in and go and be measuring that amount of cardio all the time, because it's dependent on goals. I just think it's a good way of doing it if you're looking at weight loss or fat loss. For some people, they might be doing cardio for the heart, they might be doing it for the fitness, they might be doing it for performance. This, we're talking about the type of cardio that you're doing if your goal is just focused on fat loss.
Yeah, this guy on YouTube, he was very against, he was like, this leads to eating disorder. It's like, no, actually it doesn't, because if you're in that mindset of you want to lose X amount of weight or X amount of fat loss in a period of time, actually measuring what you're doing is far better than just being like, oh, I do an hour of cardio, because that's probably more detrimental. You could be overdoing it by just going and doing an hour. So if you can measure that you only need to do 15 minutes 3 times a week, okay, Bob's your uncle, that is brilliant.
That's a good example, though, because I know some people who go, oh, I've got to go and do an hour today, and then I've got to do an hour. It's like, well, yeah, but I know to increase my deficit, I've got to do 600 calories extra for this week. So for me, that could be 3 sessions, doing 15 minutes at the end of my weight session. Like, I'm not in there for nowhere near as long. It's easy to do. I've just tagged it on the end of a session. It takes 15 minutes. I'm in, out, and done.
Well, it's what I used to do when I did have an eating disorder. I used to go in and do cardio for an hour. Honestly, I must have racked up so many calories, whereas now I do 3 lots of 20 minutes a week on a cut. And one of those is actually going for a run instead, which I really enjoy. Whereas I would have usually gone in and done, like, I need to do an hour today to even feel satisfied. So yeah, that's definitely an important point to make. So this is the 5th point we're going on to. Ben has an additional secret point at the end. But number 5 is not realizing you are going through body recomposition. A lot of people assume if their weight is not going down, then they are not losing fat. And this isn't always the case. If you are new to training, if you are coming back from time off, so say, for example, COVID, obviously we were not in the gyms for an extensive period of time. Now, when you do take that amount of time off and you go back to something, or you're a complete newbie, like I said, or maybe even you're taking training and nutrition more seriously, so you've really honed in on your training, you really honed in on your nutrition a little bit, you might be experiencing something called body recomposition, and this is where you will lose fat and build muscle at the same time, i.e. you will realize your weight will remain the same throughout this period. Now, for one, muscle is a lot denser than fat. So if you are building muscle and you're noticing that the scales aren't moving, it's probably because you are staying the same weight, but it doesn't mean you're not losing that fat. It just means it's going to take you a lot longer to kind of see those changes. And this is why images and measurements and measuring your strength in the gym is so important, because you can see you are making progress. You can see through the progress images that in 3 weeks' time, you look trim around the waist, but your glutes look a little bit bigger. Your measurements, again, doing your thighs, doing your upper body, doing your chest, whatever it is. Okay, measurements are going up, but my body fat seems to be going down from the progress images. So you are making progress, but do not just solely rely on those scales.
Yeah, that's why when we talk about different metrics, there's simple things in life as well, which don't even require effort. For example, are your pants a little bigger?
Yeah.
Is your t-shirt a little tighter because now your biceps are massive?
Yeah.
Like there's little measurements that you can notice from clothes. And a big one is that often a lot of people, whether it's family or friends, will recognize those changes more so than you will, because you see your body every single day. So these are different points of feedback, which are a little bit more natural than metrics as well. And the one thing that you've got to remember with body recomp is that as you build more muscle tissue, your body will expend more energy, i.e. burn more calories, because it's holding more muscle. So it's advantageous for you to be weight training and to be building muscle as part of a weight loss journey as well. And the big thing that you need to do is make sure that with your training, you're still progressively overloading, even if you are still looking for fat loss.
A lot of people always think, oh, should I increase the reps and lower the weight then, just so I'm doing more and burning more calories in my session? No, you do not need to change your training. If you actually want body recomposition, you want to be doing the exact same training, so be it strength, hypertrophy work, whilst you're in that deficit. Because if you don't, you're going to start losing that muscle and that shape that you're actually pining for.
Yeah, 100%. I think the last one that I just wanted to tag on is a little extra, and I think a lot of people know this, but still do it anyway. And this one comes down to having more control over anything, and that's just weekends. Now, for most people, this is where they'll fuck up on the diet, because weekends is just kind of like, oh, I've done my Monday to Friday. Routine changes massively. So where you'll usually have the routine of the weekday, getting up at a certain time, eating these certain meals around work, around breaks, around the gym, so some people may not train at the weekend. So routine for a lot of people completely changes at the weekend. And this is where it becomes difficult, because you are responsible then for creating that routine habit. I'm not saying that you need to be an absolute hermit at the weekend and stick to a rigid regime, but you need to just be a little bit more aware of what you happen, because for a lot of people, weekends become a period of binge eating, going away, going out having drinks. And again, this is an important part of creating a healthier and happier lifestyle, to have that balance and flexibility. But it can't just become a black hole where basically you just fuck everything up for the week. Because if I give you an example of a setup of calories, what a lot of people's week will look like is that they'll stick to the calorie deficit from Monday to Friday of, I don't know, whatever it is, and then they'll get to a Saturday and Sunday and they'll completely change and they'll fly over. So if you set up, for example, your calorie deficit at 10%, so let's say, for example, a guy, his maintenance is 2,500 calories to maintain weight, and he drops himself into a 10% deficit per day, so he drops his calories to 2,250 per day, so that brings him into a calorie deficit. So for the week, your total deficit is going to be 1,750 calories. That's 10%. But on a Saturday, he decides, okay, I'm going to eat 3,200 calories. And on a Sunday, I'm going to go for a breakfast with my mate. And then I'm going to go for a roast dinner at my mum's. And then we'll probably watch a bit of TV and I'll have a bit of, what's he having? A bit of white chocolate. So for the week, the whole week's fucked then, because he's not only probably gone into a maintenance, he's now into a surplus, because he was only in a 10% deficit anyway. So now, because of that weekend, it's taken him out of that, and the whole week work is gone. And that's how easy it is. I know it's frustrating for some people, but you can fuck up your whole week just on a Saturday and Sunday. So that's why it's important, for the way that you're setting up your week. One, I believe you need to have that balance by having a treat meal or something that you want to do, or going out. But that should be a meal, not a whole day of binging, never mind a whole weekend. And This is why I don't recommend being too aggressive, because it sets you up over a weekend just to want to completely fuck it all up. Mm-hmm. So instead of having a load of calories on Saturday and Sunday, give yourself a little bit more. Don't make that deficit too big to start off with, and you can have a little bit more flexibility through the week. You need to see this as a lifestyle choice and not a quick fix. And something that you ask yourself, okay, can I see myself doing this for the rest of my life? Because you want to get to a point where you're happy, where you're confident, where you feel good, where you look good, where your performance is good. And that to be a sustainable, long-term, I suppose, position that you're in. Whereas when we look, and this is what a lot of people tend to try and emulate, is they look at a fitness model or a bodybuilder and go, I want to look like that. And the point of a bodybuilder is to be as lean as possible, to have the least amount of body fat, but holding the most amount of muscle tissue for an hour on stage. Not for the fucking a couple of months or a year, for an hour on stage of however long they're posing for. And the goal for the general public is to just lose a little bit of weight without living like a hermit.
Yeah.
So you need to really readdress where your comparisons are and not turn your weekends into a load of binge eating because you've been too strict following someone else's diet for the week.
Yeah, I literally couldn't have said it better myself. And I think treat meals, you're not cheating on your diet or anything. A treat meal is kind of like going out for dinner, having a glass of wine, doing this, doing that. Something you wouldn't do every single day of the week, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just so important. Obviously, what we've spoke about today, a lot of you might just think, ah, yeah, okay, that's me with the coffee. Oh yeah, that's actually me with the cardio. Oh, I think I'm doing that with the scales. There might have just been something in this podcast that's kind of like flicked a switch in your brain, and you can then move forward with your fat loss journey.
And even when I was doing comp prep a few years ago, and I've only done it once, I was still had, although I didn't set up like, okay, I have a treat meal, I can include whatever in it, I go out and bash all the calories in like sometimes we do now when we have a meal. I still was given a set amount of calories, so it might have been like, I think at the time it might have been 700 or 800 calories, and I could have like whatever in that period of time.
Mm.
But yeah, it's one of those. I think those treat meals are important because some people just won't do it and end up binging, and it doesn't create much of a lifestyle. At the same time, from a psychological point of view, it is great for just positively reinforcing those good behaviours. But yeah, just to conclude on this one, I just wanted to say that to people, that remember, when you're on your weight loss journey, weight is just a number and it's not actually your self-worth. So keep in mind, this will change from time to time. It will spike, it will drop, and it will play mind games with you. As long as you know why these factors are going to occur, again, it makes it a lot more easier to manage. So rather than seeing a spike in weight and being pissed off, thinking you're fucked up and then giving up, realize it's all a part of the journey. I've never had a weight loss journey where my weight didn't spike. It's just normal. So stop being a dick to yourself. And if you do need to make changes, look at the reasons why, and then make decisions and give yourself advice that you would give to someone else.
That was beautifully said. And as always, guys, oh, just a quick reminder again, bands release Friday, 7 p.m. BST. Very excited. Very, very excited on my days. 7 p.m. BST. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you found it valuable. Make sure you go over to the My Coach School, www.mycoachschool.com, and click on that free calorie calculator. You will find it very, very beneficial, and it won't add on more calories for you.
Mm-hmm.
As always, please share on socials, on Instagram, on Facebook, tag myself and Ben. We absolutely love seeing you guys repost and things like that.
Oh yeah, and if you could please leave a review on the podcast, that'd be massively, massively, massively helpful. And of course, if you've taken anything away from this podcast and it was helpful, please tell someone else about it as well.
That's a big thing
for us, because the other thing that's going to be coming, it might either be before Christmas or it might be slightly after Christmas, is that we are actually going to be setting up a website for the podcast. So you can go on there, any links that we've talked about, anything in the podcast that we've shared, you will actually be able to go on and click straight into and have a look, and there'll be some notes and stuff on there. Just gives us a place for us to host it and give you a little bit more info about the podcast as well.
Yeah, so have a great day or evening wherever you are in the world, and we'll catch you soon. Bye guys.